Amen. Thank you, Paul. I'm not sure I've ever had such a build-up to a sermon as that. It's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. I'm afraid there aren't any pictures this week. Pete, I know, is disappointed by that. He loves it when I give him lots of slides to put up and has to pay attention in the sermon and so on. But this week it's just me and the Word of God. And as we said in the notices, do remember our Harvest Festival is in the school next week, so please don't come here. Come to St. Andrew's School on Mandeville Road. And please bring your harvest gifts. Bring things for the food bank and for Beacon House. Non-perishables, please. Because harvest is a time to celebrate and to give thanks, isn't it? For all the wonderful things that God gives us, the crops and the fruit, and all the things provided on this planet by our Heavenly Father. But this week we're going to focus on stewardship and reviewing our giving. And so the readings I chose are about our response to God's generosity, our own generosity to other people. And our reading from Luke there that Eileen read starts with Jesus warning to his disciples not to follow the teachers of the law. He doesn't criticize their teaching. They taught all right. The problem was their behavior, their lives. More crucially, their inner motivation, where their heart was. They looked for glory from men. And they prey on the vulnerable widows and the poor. And then as chapter 21 begins, both types walked past Jesus and his followers. And Jesus said, look, there they were. The rich were sort of dropping their coins into the temple treasury with a big show. And then this poor widow came along and put in just two little copper coins. And Jesus knew, as she did it, he just knew that that money was everything she had to live on. I wonder how he knew that. I think it's an example of what St. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, the spiritual gift of knowledge. He just knew something about her life, and only God told him. So have a think for a moment. What proportion, what percentage of her income did she give? Was it perhaps 1% of her income? Or was it 5%? Or was it 10%? It wasn't, was it? It was everything she had to live on. It was 100%. And ask yourself, was she one of those wealthy people, the rich, who have lots of money to spare? No. She was poor, wasn't she? It's very tempting, isn't it, to say, ah, well, this doesn't apply to me. I'm a teenager, I only have pocket money. Or I'm a pensioner and I'm not rich enough to give to God's work. But Jesus was saying to his disciples, this is for everybody. Rich and poor alike. The Old Testament guideline was 10%, a tithe. But the New Testament guideline, if there is one, is right here, isn't it? It's everything. As much as the generosity of your heart and the bravery of your faith. And then Andrew read to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 about sowing generously. A whole section encouraging people to be generous. Why? Because God has been generous to us. That's the spirit of harvest, isn't it? Look at all the Lord has given us. So let's, in our turn, show our gratitude by giving generously to others. And Paul even suggests here some principles for our giving. First of all, he says it should be a free will gift. Verse 7, for example. We should give cheerfully. The word there literally means hilariously. We should give hilariously. God loves a cheerful giver. Not reluctantly, says Paul, not under compulsion, but cheerfully. And he also says you shouldn't worry about going short afterwards. You shouldn't be concerned about whether you'll have enough to live on afterwards. Because he says God will supply all your needs. That's why you're giving in the first place, because God has given to you. And people will praise God, says Paul at the end of this passage. They'll praise God for your generosity. Proverbs 11:24 says, one man gives freely, and yet he gains even more. Another one withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A preacher commented on that. He said, some people give like a sponge, only when they're squeezed. It's true, isn't it? Some of us are reluctant. But to summarise so far, don't give reluctantly. Give cheerfully, give generously, as your heart wills. Now, you should have found as you came in one of these little green sheets, which has on the top of it a gift aid form and on the bottom of it a banker's order, a standing order. And if you know somebody who didn't make it here today, do take one of those and give it to them. Why should they miss out? Why not? And I hope the opportunity there is clear, because regular giving towards our regular running costs has actually fallen behind a little bit in past years. So what we're asking for as a church is a little modest increase in our regular planned giving. And that helps our treasurer enormously, because then she knows, she can predict our income to some extent, and she can pay bills monthly and so on. Jane and I remember in a previous church, there was one church member who preferred to give as and when he felt able. He didn't really like a regular commitment to giving. But then he became treasurer, and he realised how difficult it made life if he never knew what was coming in. And so he began to give regularly. Can I say, if you don't have any sort of regular giving arrangement to the church, either by weekly envelope or by standing order, can I ask you just to fill in the bottom bit there and make some sort of regular arrangement and start that? Now, I know some people are frightened of commitment like that. If that really worries you, then by all means make it, I don't know, just £1 a month, £12 a year, something really small. But please, I would love it if everybody started a regular giving arrangement, just to cover our regular running costs. If you need to go and talk to your husband or wife, that's fine, please do so. But I know that many couples are very happy for one of them to join the ladies' outing while the other one goes and plays football, or for one to give to the lifeboats while the other one goes down the pub or whatever. And a commitment to give to God's work shouldn't really be objectionable against that, should it? Do remember, this is different from special fundraising for particular projects. They did that in the Old Testament, for example, when they were going to build the tabernacle in the wilderness, or when they were going to build the temple in Jerusalem, for example. They had a special fundraising drive, and you sometimes see those thermometers, don't you, outside churches. This is not about that. This is about our regular giving, which is equivalent, if you like, to the Old Testament tithe. And the tithe in the Old Testament had to be the first fruits and not the last. It had to be the cream of the crop and not the leftovers. Because God must have first place in our lives and not last place. So that's why in 1 Corinthians Paul suggests setting aside a sum at the beginning of the week. Not the end of the week for what you've got left over. At the beginning of the week, when you start. And he also says it should be proportionate. a sum in proportion to your income. If you earn more, then you give more. If you earn less, then you give less. That's fair, isn't it? So Paul says, take a percentage of your income and give that. And he also says it should be planned. It's good for our spiritual health to plan our giving, worshipping God with our offerings as well as our songs and prayers. Our regular giving should then cover our regular expenditure. Our one-off gifts, perhaps from bonuses or legacies or whatever, should cover one-off projects. Just for a moment, why was it 10%? Why that amount? Well, if you wanted in the Old Testament days, if you wanted to start a new synagogue or a Jewish church, then you needed a minimum of 10 working men. That was the quorum, or if you like, the minyan was what they called it. That was their word for it. And so each man who was working and receiving a working income, he'd give 10% of his income. And together, 10 of those made a salary for a rabbi. And of course, 10% meant the rich gave more, the poor gave less. So it's fair, isn't it? And then the rabbi got the average wage of his congregation. Now, I know some of us may not be brave enough yet to give 10%. But as I say, if you could start a regular contribution, that would be a huge help. Of course, stewardship of our resources means also giving our time, our talents, our experience as well. And that may be for some people even harder to give than money. But it's not an either or. It's a both and. We should still give from our income. The aim of our Christian lives, of course, is to grow more like Christ. His generosity was such that he gave his whole self for us. And of course, he's given us the ability to earn income, hasn't he? To gain wealth. And all that we have is his anyway. We say this in our prayers, don't we? So ask yourself, perhaps the better question is, how much should we keep for our own use if it all belongs to him anyway? I hope you've discovered Christian giving is a joyful privilege, because God does provide for the things that we need. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, all these things will be given you as well. Is that true? Will he provide? Does he give? In a way, it's a test of faith, isn't it? But if you truly put his kingdom first, then the testimony of millions of Christians is that yes, God does provide. He is faithful. I can remember two very clear occasions in my life when I gave a generous gift which I wasn't sure that I could really afford to give. But it was done in obedience to what I thought God was saying at the time. And both times I was astonished, and I was deeply moved actually, to receive an unexpected windfall quite soon afterwards. Now, I know we mustn't treat God like a vending machine. That's the error of some prosperity teaching that you might hear. We need to seek first his kingdom. It's not about our own benefit. But God is no man's debtor. Jesus doesn't make empty promises. All these things will be given to you as well. So we don't need to worry about the future. All our security is in God. You believe in God, believe also in me, says our Saviour. So harvest time is a time to celebrate God's good gifts and to give thanks in our worship. It's also a time to respond generously by giving in our turn. So our food gifts from next week will be taken to Beacon House and to the Colchester Food Bank. But for your regular giving to the church, please do fill in the little slip on the green paper there. I'm just going to close with a prayer, if I may, to ask God to be with us. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. And help us to say grace more thoughtfully, to give thanks to you more genuinely, and to please you in our generous giving of money. In the name of Jesus we ask. Amen.